Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. We're featuring remarks from the Reverend Miles Holmes during the Illinois Family Institute's 2024 Recovering Biblical Manhood Worldview Conference at the Village Church of Barrington. The Reverend Holmes is an IFI board member, and he's the co-lead pastor of Revive Church in Collinsville. Pastor Miles owns and operates powerful social media sites, including the politically incorrect Battle of the Republic on Facebook. The Reverend Miles Holmes on why manhood matters and the need for good, godly, and strong men.
We're talking today about recovering biblical manhood, not just recovering manhood biblically. Let's look to the Bible. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, God told Joshua. 1 Corinthians 6:13, be on guard, stand firm in your faith, act like men, and be courageous and be strong. Ephesians 5:25, husband, love your wife. If you're paying attention, you realize I really didn't quote Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 very well. All I did was give you a snippet. The truth is, the rest of it is more important than the first of it. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's how to do it. That's the manner to do it. That's the way you do it. You love your wife sacrificially to the point of suffering and death. I absolutely adore my wife. I asked Valerie, she's such a beautiful girl. I asked her one day recently, will you still love me when I'm old and not so good looking? She said, I sure do. The Bible tells me that Jesus taught us to pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth just like it is in heaven. I'm still on this earth and I'm still responsible. When you consider the political system in America today, you understand that one political system is absolutely opposed to God's kingdom and God's will being done. They are against it publicly. They will tell you they don't want God's will being done. They want abortion without limits. They literally want to tell us there should be no age limit at which a young child can decide to change their gender. This is insanity. It is wickedness. It is evil. It is ungodly. It is demonic. It is not God's kingdom. It is not God's will. Jesus Christ is still building his church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That is my passion. That is my priority. But we still have freedom in America, don't we? Those freedoms are under assault viciously. I have a Facebook page called Battle of the Republic. We preach the word of God and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ every single day of the year. I tell you all of that to tell you why I'm here speaking today. On Friday mornings on that Facebook page, every Friday morning at 7:30 a.m., I do a show called Manhood Matters. Every week, this is one of my most popular shows. We talk about matters of manhood because manhood matters. I say things like, marriage is for one man and one woman, and sex is to be reserved for that beautiful union. I say things like, God made two genders only, male and female, boy and girl, man and woman, not 62 different versions. Gender is not plastic. It is not flexible. It is not a social construct. It's actually the way the world goes round. Those kind of statements, I'm permanently banned from YouTube. Thankfully, our church is not banned from YouTube, but personally I am. Here's why. The very idea of gender is under attack. Marriage is under vicious assault. Families are being continually assaulted. Children and teens are the targets of the very powers and demons of hell. So I will not be silent. I will not be quiet. Speaking the truth in love, regardless of who doesn't like it. Now, if you believe that gender is on a spectrum, or if you believe that masculinity and manhood is a threat or a mental disease, changeable, depending upon your mood or the time of day, you are either incredibly evil or you're an idiot, a moron with no more sense than a fence post. If you believe that boys and girls and teenagers should be able to change their gender with chemicals and surgery, you are a monster that should be in prison. I don't care if you're a parent, a doctor, a counselor, a preacher. A 6-year-old can't get a tattoo or donate blood, run for office, or vote, or become a police officer, or buy a gun, or sign a check, or consume alcohol, or smoke marijuana or cigarettes, can't get drafted, get a job, can't drive a taxi, six-year-old can't rent a car or get a driver's license, can't skydive or bungee jump, can't open a bank account or get a Costco card, can't buy fireworks, cannot get married or enter a casino. A six-year-old is not allowed to play paintball, for crying out loud, but will allow them to chemically, hormonally, surgically, permanently scar and mutilate their human sexuality. This is evil beyond our understanding. But it is best understood as the result of atheism, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. G.K. Chesterton, I read him every morning, daily devotional from G.K. Chesterton. He said this, when you do away with the supernatural, you are not left with the natural, you are only left with the unnatural, the dark, the macabre, the evil, and that's where we are today. What's been ignored in history? You didn't know about it because they didn't tell you about it. The mad scientist of the Nazi regime, the evil medical doctors under Hitler's orders, experimented on unwilling Jewish prisoners, trying to switch their gender surgically. When this was about to be exposed at the Nuremberg trials, all the people making these decisions said, no, this is too dark, this is too evil, this is too macabre. We won't even publicize this in the court documents. But today, we're supposed to pay for this with our tax dollars? Let me talk to you today about good, godly men. Good, godly men defend and protect femininity in women. Good, godly men protect young girls and teenagers and women and grandmothers. Good, godly men embrace women in love and honor and devotion and stand against all that would destroy their innocence. We must call out the wickedness around us and fight for what is right. If a man doesn't fight for what is right, they lose passion for life. U.S. suicides reached a record last year, and the majority of them were from men. Too many men have lost hope and a reason to live. Despair and depression take a toll. That's why I say to guys every Friday morning, let's man up. Show up in church. Show up at school board meetings. Show up at library board meetings. Show up to fight the wickedness and the debauchery and the confusion and the demonic attack against our children and teenagers and young people. But what is more shocking is that now we have to fight this in our churches. God help us. Many preachers and churches are so afraid of the truth that they embrace the lie. They've thrown out the Bible and the truth of creation and the fact that God made us male and female. I remind the church so often, we are here to change the world, not be changed by it. We are thermostats, not thermometers. We set the temperature. We don't report it. We are here to call the world to repentance and obedience to the King and the kingdom of God. If you don't like that, take it up with the God of the universe. I'm just his messenger. You see, there's so much at stake here, my friends. Eternity's at stake. Heaven and hell is at play. Our children's future and the freedom of our nation is at stake. Yes, of course, we need to be concerned about our border. Remember what that is? I remember when we had one. We need to be concerned about our border and capitalism and energy independence and secure elections. But listen, if we no longer have gender and sexuality and family and meaning, nothing else will matter. This is as basic and as foundational as 2 + 2 = 4. God created male and female. End of discussion. If you're confused, drop your pants and have a look. Manhood matters. It certainly does. Guys, love your wife. Love and guide and guard your children to follow God and God's ways. Support churches and pastors who love God's truth and are not ashamed or afraid to speak it loudly. We are not haters. We don't hate anybody. We don't even hate our enemies. In fact, we love everybody enough to tell them the truth because it's only the truth that can set them free. In a world that desperately needs men, strong men, in a world that literally, I hope you're paying attention, a world that's literally teetering on the edge of World War III on three fronts, we need a revival of manhood. Good, godly men run to the storm and the battle and the fire to rescue and help the hurting. Good, godly men know how to pray and move the hand of God and resist Satan and see victories in the heavenlies. Good, godly men know how to love one woman for a lifetime and keep her happy and fulfilled. Somebody say amen to that. I'm going to clap for that. Good godly men know how to love children and raise them to be godly boys and godly girls, growing up into men and women of righteousness. Good godly men know how to support a church and a pastor, not just with offerings and gifts, but with volunteering and helping out, providing security and role models forever. And by taking their wife, not sending them to church, taking their wife and their children to church. Years ago, when you asked somebody, 40, 50 years ago, the research has proven when you asked somebody, do you go to church regularly, they thought you meant every week. Now, if you ask somebody, do you go to church regularly, the average American will say yes if they know that they attend church once or twice a month. Let's up our game. Can I get an amen? Amen. Good godly men know how to work hard and provide for their families. They know how to save and invest for the future. Good godly men know how to laugh and have fun and make their home and their marriage a joyous place. Good godly men know how to speak up for truth in their communities. And when those trying to destroy gender and the innocence of children want to invade our schools and our libraries with a drag queen sexual debauchery, they show up. Good godly men do their best to get their kids out of these public indoctrination systems and get them in private schools or homeschooling. That's what good godly men do. Good godly men know how to open their Bibles with their wife and their children and lead them in loving God. Good godly men know how to pray with their wife. Everybody say with. Amen. Pray with their wife, not just for their wife. Pray with their wife and with their children, covering them with the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Good godly men know how the power of speaking the word over their families. Not a word of defeat or poverty or despair, but a word of blessing and hope and victory and healing and authority and supernatural strength. Good godly men have learned how to resist temptation, get control over their own ungodly habits and tendencies so that they can have full focus on intention on God's calling on their life. And good godly men do not live by the seat of their pants, just letting life happen to them. They have a plan. They have goals. They have vision. They know where they're going, and they're taking their family with them. Good godly men know that the days of timidity and fear and cowardice and silence are long gone. Strong men are demanded. Strong men are needed. Strong men are the answer. Strong men are respected, admired, and loved. Good, godly men built America, and strong men will make America great again and make America godly again as we pray and believe and expect the greatest spiritual awakening this nation has ever seen. There's too much at stake to be silent or even quiet. It's time to make some noise. It's time to fast and pray because the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. 28th President of the United States of America wrote these words: "We do not admire the man of timid peace. We admire the man who embodies victorious effort, the man who never wrongs his neighbor, who is prompt to help a friend, but a man who has those virile qualities necessary to win in the stern strife of actual life." Teddy Roosevelt.
The Reverend Miles Holmes, after time out, will continue with his remarks during the Illinois Family Institute's 2024 Recovering Biblical Manhood Worldview Conference at the Village Church of Barrington.
With a woman to look at culture from a Christian worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. According to Britain's The Independent, calls to an anti-slavery hotline there grew from just under 10,000 in 2022 to nearly 12,000 last year. Now, whether the increase in calls reflects an actual increase in slavery in the UK or just an increase in awareness of the hotline, it's still a reminder that this ancient evil is still very much part of today's world. Today, however, slavery takes a different form. Things like organ harvesting or even surrogacy-based slavery, when women are warehoused, financially pressured, and otherwise coerced into providing children for paying Western customers. It's a booming market that is, child advocate Katie Pfau says, the real handmaid's tale, with customers and providers willing to go to unconscionable lengths to secure their product. With so much money to be made and little to no legal restrictions, women and children are being dehumanized and made into commodities. Make no mistake, commercial surrogacy is one of the great human rights crises of our day. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight as we highlight remarks from the Reverend Miles Holmes during the Illinois Family Institute's 2024 Worldview Conference at the Village Church of Barrington. Miles is the co-lead pastor at Revive Church in Collinsville and is an IFI board member. In this segment of Spotlight, he challenges Christian men to make Jesus the number one priority in their homes.
My calling to men as a pastor of a local church and a cultural analyst of a broken world is fivefold. God is calling you, man, to be a prayerful priest, a passionate prophet, a powerful protector, a prosperous provider, and a positive pattern. Would you give me just a few moments to break this down with you? A priest goes to God in prayer for his people. This, man of God, is your highest calling. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Let me add, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own family? Pray. Pray with fervency. Plead the blood of Jesus over your children and grandchildren. No one else can pray your prayers for you. Years ago now, a preacher stood in front of a crowd of 300 or 400 Christian men. And the speaker said, "How many of the men here believe that we should get prayer back in school? Raise your hand if you believe that's one of the answers for America. We've got to get God and prayer back in schools. Raise your hand." Every hand shot up. And then he said, "Thank you, brothers. Can I ask you, how many of you actually spent any time in prayer with your kids at home any time this week?" Not a hand went up. God help us. We need Jesus in our homes first. A prophet speaks to the people for God. Do you know what God's word for your family is? Who's supposed to get it but you? What's God's message to your home? What's God's promise? What's God's decree for your family? Put God's word in your mouth and speak to your wife and children. What is God saying to your house? If I had any influence to give you homework today, I don't, but if I did, here's what I'd do. I would say, go home, find out what God's word to your house is, and then tell them. A prophet speaks to the people for God. A powerful protector doesn't let the enemy of any kind into their home. Any kind. I talk to guys all the time who are very careful to keep their guns loaded and close by. They always have a baseball bat under their bed, but they really don't care what their kids are being taught in school. Doesn't make much sense, does it? But I tell our guys, they better be afraid of you in hell as well. Demons better tremble when you pray in the name of Jesus, or you're no protector at all. Protector. A prosperous provider understands they need God's blessing on their work as well. They need God's wisdom and God's strategy for financial success. They need to claim God's promises for their family, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, but that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus in this economy. How many know that God's economy has nothing to do with the American economy? Nothing, nothing, nothing. A positive pattern realizes that as a father, you're being a model of righteousness. A positive pattern, you're a model of righteousness because your children are watching. Your children are watching how you treat their mother. They're watching how you speak to her. Your daughters are getting their image of marriage from the way you treat their mother. Your sons are getting every idea they have about how to treat a woman by how you speak to your wife. Yes, you've got to pray and fast like you've never prayed and fasted before because the devil is angry. He knows his time is short. That's in the book of Revelation. We must love our wife and love our kids as if their life depends on it, because it actually does. We must love them as if your life depends on it, because it actually does. They must see strong men, tough men, brave and courageous men who are gentle with their wife, loving and affirming on their children. They must see strong biblical men of faith who read their Bible and pray. Men, you do not have an option about this. You must lead your kids spiritually. Satan has every attraction and a temptation to tear them out of the faith available at every turn. You must become a leader in your church and in your community. If you want to tell your preacher, "I'm not really involved, I'm nominal only," show up late and leave before he ends his preaching. You're telling him, "You can't ask me for anything. You can't depend upon me for anything." Want to give your preacher a heart attack this week? Yeah, I know you don't want to do that, but I'm just suggesting be careful when you say this. "Hey, preacher, how can I get involved? How can I help you build this church? How can I help you bring God's vision to this church?" Bless your preacher with that text today. I dare you to ask your pastor that. email, text him, call him. You don't have your pastor's phone number? Why on earth not? Actually, factually, 2.1 million people have my personal cell phone number. That's why you never see me answering my phone. They'll leave a message, I'll get back to them. When you can, where you can, get involved in kids ministry and youth ministry in your church. It is important. Invest in kids in your community. Big Brothers, Royal Rangers. Be a man that other kids can look up to. Be a man that other young men can aspire to be like. We are living in a fatherless America, an increasingly fatherless society. Be the difference. Show up and break the cycle. I prayed for my children before they were conceived. 5 children. I prayed for them in the womb. I prayed for them before they went to school. When they were still children, I started praying for their spouses they would be married to. And now I'm praying for my grandchildren. We pray for our children because there's a cosmic battle raging for their souls between heaven and hell on this earth. And you, sir, have authority in that battle. We pray for our children and grandchildren because if we don't stand in the gap, make up the hedge of protection, the enemy becomes free to attack them in their minds and their bodies with temptations and attractions of this world. We pray for our families because praying for them draws us closer to God and makes us a better role model for them. We pray for them because we know them better than anyone else does except God and their mother. We pray for them because we love them more than anyone else could ever love them except for God and their mother. We pray for them because our children are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in heavenly dark places. They cannot yet fight like we can fight. They're not supposed to have to fight like we can fight for them. That's why we must help them in prayer by holding up the shield of faith and wielding the sword of the Spirit. You would not send your 8 or 9-year-old out to meet a burglar in the middle of the night. We pray for them because we're older, we are wiser, we have more experience, we're more mature than our children. We've already won more battles and seen more victories. So we have the ability to pray with them, great discernment and great wisdom over our children. We can see a little farther down the road than they can. In your prayers, you can help guide their life into peace and prosperity. We pray for our children because our prayers can be a shield of faith for them when they are weak and under attack. Your prayers can provide heaven-sent ammunition and protection. We pray for them because your fervent prayers, your intercession with a dad's authority, can help your children stay focused on God's will for their life. Your prayers, your father's prayers, can bind distraction, deception, discouragement from their life. And we pray for them. You hear me clearly. We pray for them because their eternal salvation is more important than their health, more important than the house they live in, the clothes they wear, more important than their sports achievement or their job or career or attention. Where they spend eternity matters. It matters forever. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you've never seen before. Are you believing for stuff like your family has never seen before? Yes. Wickedness is abounding in our culture. But where sin abounds, grace will much more abound. I'm so invested in revival. We changed the name of our church 12 years ago to Revive. But the greatest revival we need is in our marriages, our homes, and in our families. That's the revival we need. Charles Spurgeon wrote in a book in 1898 these words. When I say that a man in Christ is a man, I mean that if he's truly in Christ, he is therefore manly. This idea that if you become a Christian, you must sink your manliness and turn into milksop. You are to be as sweet as honey towards everybody. You are to ask permission of ministers and church authorities to breathe and to become some sort of living martyr. I do not believe in such Christianity at all. The Christian man, it seems to me, is the noblest style of man, the freest, bravest, most heroic, most fearless of men. If he is what he should be, he is, in the best sense of the word, a man all over, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. But men, let me talk to you just for a few moments very specifically and practically about how to love your family, how to love your wife and your children. You need to love your family, your wife, your kids need your attention, your affection, your love, your warmth, and that is best spelled T-I-M-E, time. A man was told he had to work on Saturday. His boss called him. He said, sir, I can come in at 1 p.m., but not before that. He said, why on earth not? He said, the circus is coming in town, and I've got to take my 4-year-old boy. And his boss said to him, don't be ridiculous. The circus comes every year. Get into work. He said, sir, with great respect, the circus does come every year, but my little boy will never be 4 years old again. Never. Time is swiftly passing by. And they used to tell me when I was a kid, time will fly. And I didn't believe them. I wanted time to fly. I wanted to get my license. I wanted to get married. I wanted kids. And now it's like, how could I have kids that are as old as they are? How could I have 9 grandchildren, but I'm loving every minute of it? I have been a pastor now in a local church for 41 years in 2 nations. I've had the difficult, challenging, but beautiful task of holding the hands of many men as they died, left this life, breathed their last, sometimes in their home, most often in a hospital, sometimes young men, most often quite elderly men. I can tell you in every one of these experiences, when I've held the hand of a dying man, I've never one time, not one time ever heard any of them say, "Hey, Pastor, I really wish I had spent more time at the office. Really wish I had more spent more time at the factory. You know, Pastor, I think my life would have been so much more fulfilled if I just spent a few more weekends at the bar." No. None of them ever said to me, "You know, if I had spent a little bit more time golfing, I think I could have made it." Not one. But when these men became remorseful and wistful, cannot tell you the number of times men have said to me, "Pastor, if I could do it over again, I'd do it differently. Maybe I wouldn't have bought the boat. Maybe I wouldn't work a second job. Maybe I wouldn't have bought the third car. I sure wish I could go back and spend more time with my children. I wish I could go back." What's so sad, of course, is that many of these men died alone, just their preacher, just their pastor holding their hand, because their kids couldn't even be bothered to come say goodbye to Dad. We reap what we sow. Here's the good news. You're still living. You're still breathing. You can still give your wife and your kids the gift that they really want, your time, your presence, to be there. Show up, be there. Your time. One other great gift I want to talk to you about that you can practically give to your family, a great gift that will mark your life as a man of God, and that is the gift of humility. Humility. When you're wrong, fess up. Confess it. Say you're sorry. Make it right. Make it right and go on from there. There is such power in being humble, even as you're a strong leader. I would suggest the stronger leader you are, the more humility you ought to show. My dad was an example of that, and I tried to do it with my kids. When I was wrong, I looked him in the eyes and said, "Son, daughter, I'm sorry. Please forgive your dad. I will do better." Today, I have an incredible relationship with all 5 of my kids and their spouses, and my 9 grandchildren, soon to be 11 or 12. Bless God. Humility will bear its fruits. Humility will win the day. Dads, we're not always right. We don't always hit the mark. Sometimes we're dead wrong. But staying small in our own eyes, guys, will reap a great harvest. Back in the Middle Ages, when men were men and men were leaders and men were strong and courageous and kings were leaders, the strong and courageous kings always led their soldiers into battle, out front, in the middle of the fray. I know all the movies you watch have the king on a horse up on a hill watching everything. But no, the truth is they were out front leading their men to battle. There was a particular war cry that was heard louder than any other call during war. It was not charge. It was not kill. It was not forward. And the loudest cry heard above everything else was not retreat. Far above the noise of battle, the sounds of horses, metal clashing against metal, the cries of men crying in pain whenever the king was in danger. If the king was wounded, or if there was a threat against the king's life, far above the noise and the din, a loud cry was heard, "To the king! To the king! To the king!" Everybody heard it and rushed to the king's aid. All that mattered was the king's life, the king's legacy, the king's safety. The kingdom depended upon the king. I want you to know today that our king is under attack. His word and his kingdom is under vicious assault. Every one of us soldiers must run to the king's defense for his name and his glory. So for my closing comment, I want us all, with all of our energy, all of our strength, all of our passion, all of our prayers, all of our volume, with all of our engagement, we rush to the king because we are soldiers of the cross. We lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. To the king, to the king, for his glory alone. Everybody say amen, and God bless you.
The Reverend Miles Holmes, the co-lead pastor at Revive Church in Collinsville, during the Illinois Family Institute's 2024 Recovering Biblical Manhood Worldview Conference at the Village Church of Barrington. Be sure to follow Miles on Facebook and catch his Manhood Matters presentations. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. Also, sign on for IFI email updates at illinoisfamily.org and go there for upcoming IFI events. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.